Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, and welcome to the Latin American History Podcast. Episode 94, The Conquest of Chile, Part 2. The area which Valdivia was about to lead his expedition into was inhospitable and daunting. The Atacama is not the biggest desert in the world, but it is the driest. It was a large part of the reason that everyone thought that Chile was a waste of time. Why nobody wanted to join him, or thought that putting money into his attempt to conquer it was a good idea. I now have the same feeling I had when I was writing about Almagro's journey across it, going the other way on his way back to Peru. It has been built up, and everyone at the time seems to have thought that it would be the most difficult and dangerous part of the trip. Yet when I came to write that part of Almagro's story, I found information and events relatively sparse. The same is true here. There isn't too much to say about Valdivia's crossing. It must have been difficult, but they made it through without stories of men dying or harrowing tales of hardship. The Atacama is a geographically defined area, but although the country gets less difficult once you're outside it, if you look at pictures of the places to the north and south, to a non-desert dweller, they still look pretty deserty. They reached the Copiapó Valley, the same place which Almagro arrived at, having crossed the Andes from the eastern side, while making his way down. And while this would have been some relief, it was still a dusty, dry and hot place, not somewhere which makes for an ideal spot to start founding a new colony. This was, however, the northern edge of the land assigned to Valdivia in his charter. The indigenous people were not friendly. They hid, taking their supplies of food with them, and launched ambushes where they could. Hugh Pocock writes in his book, also called The Conquest of Chile, that this may have been at the orders of the leader of the Neo-Inca state. If true, this is interesting. Despite the fall of the empire, and the fact that the Neo-Inca state was marginalized to remote Peruvian valleys north of Cusco, if this was the case, it suggests that both some of the non-conquered peoples of its former empire still considered themselves loyal, despite there being no Inca presence, and that the state's leaders were somehow still capable of getting messages and orders to these far-flung places. I don't know if it's true. It may be that, like many indigenous peoples, the people of Copiapó simply chose to resist the outsiders, or that they were turned hostile by the aggression Almagro showed on his visit there a few years before. Valdivia conducted a symbolic ceremony in which he took possession of the land for himself and for Spain. The name he gave it during this ceremony was New Extremadura. The name will not stick, but it is sort of poetic. We don't know exactly where the word Chile comes from, but it did come into existence during Almagro's time there. It may be that it's a corruption of the name of a local indigenous leader they encountered. The word had come to be seen negatively, both because of its association with the defeated Almagro, and because it referred to a place which everyone thought was near uninhabitable. Valdivia then wanted to rebrand his colony and try to shed it of these negative connotations. It won't work. We call the country Chile today, and not New Extremadura. His chosen name was, of course, a tribute to his native region of Spain, and I wonder if he himself saw the parallels. Extremadura is an arid region in the south of Spain. Like this part of Chile, its dryness made it difficult to settle, which is a large part of the reason that so many of its people left for the New World, and why it's overrepresented among conquistadors. Extremadura translates as something like the place of the extremes. Not that many decades before, Spaniards had marched south, just like Valdivia was doing now, and conquered it from the Muslim inhabitants as part of the Reconquista. New Extremadura, then, feels like an apt name. Their march southwards from Copiapó was marked by resistance. It wasn't enough to cause them major problems, but they had to fight for their progress and would receive no help from any of the indigenous peoples whose lands they passed through. Eventually they reached the place where Santiago, today Chile's capital city, would be founded. They got there in midsummer, when everything was green, and they found quite a large population living there, one which didn't instantly try to kill them. This looked much more promising than the lands they'd come through. They asked the local caciques to a meeting and told them who they were and why they were here. The caciques did not seem too bothered by their presence. In February, Santiago was officially founded. Valdivia didn't intend this to be the capital of New Extremadura. He planned to continue further south. It's a colony needs many settlements, and this was a good place for the first one. As they began laying out what would be the city, but at the time was a collection of spaced-out wooden huts, the indigenous people were collecting their harvests. It seems that their welcome only extended until this was done. While their food was still on branches and in the ground, they were vulnerable. It would be the first thing the Spanish aimed for if they were to fight. Once it had all been collected, however, it could be transported and stored elsewhere. And so once the job was finished, they began showing what had apparently been their real attitude all along. According to Pocock's book, they were also connected to the wider world, much more so than the Spanish. And in fact, they were able to receive news of events in Peru, while the Spanish were cut off and isolated in this regard. He doesn't say this, but presumably this meant that they knew all about Valdivia's journey south towards them, and it gave them some time to prepare their harvesting strategy. It was apparently the indigenous peoples who told the Spanish that Pizarro had been murdered. This was a potential problem for Valdivia, but also an opportunity. As an extension of Peru, the idea had been that more supplies, colonists and soldiers would arrive from the north. If Almagro supporters were in power, there was no guarantee that that support would be given. This would no doubt make things more difficult, especially considering how under-equipped they were to begin with. The Peruvians might even order the colonization to stop, as a sign of their disapproval of anything Pizarro sanctioned. Although it was generally considered to be pretty useless, Chile could well be symbolic for Almagro supporters. It was after all the land which had been awarded to the man himself, and now it was in the hands of a Pizarro loyalist. The truth was that although Valdivia had been a Pizarro loyalist, he was a man of personal ambition, just like any other conquistador. Ruling an independent Chile, reporting directly to Spain, was better for him than one which was considered a province of Peru. This gave him the chance to argue that making such a move had been forced upon him, whereas before it would have been an act of insubordination. It is interesting that they trusted the information that the indigenous leaders were giving them about Pizarro. They had no way of knowing for sure if it was true. Valdivia made a great show of following legal processes and pretending to be unwilling to accept a governorship which was independent of Peru. The colonists were all gathered around, and somebody else presented the proposal to be voted on instead of him. Twice he feigned rejection of the idea, before pretending to grudgingly accept. So two things were now happening in the colony. With its newly claimed independent status, Valdivia could start to think differently about how to run it. He would have to induce its growth himself, instead of relying on Peru to send supplies and reinforcements. He would need to ensure that people were drawn there. The best way to do that was to send someone back and spread positive propaganda about the place. He was beginning to work out how to do this, when the second issue came to a head. The indigenous peoples had now become openly hostile. It seemed that they lived in relatively small political units, with each cacique having the autonomy to make their own decisions. They do, however, seem to have had the ability to come together when needed. At this point, they were still acting independently, and the most aggressive was a leader named Michimalongo, whose land was to the north of Santiago. It's not clear exactly what aggressive actions he took, but the Spanish decided that he needed dealing with, and so they attacked his fortified settlement and managed to capture him. He was released, thanks to a deal which I will mention in a minute, but he used the supposed new alliance to attack again. This time his people, while working alongside the Spanish, suddenly attacked them and managed to kill 13 of them, as well as some of the indigenous and African expedition members. When you remember how few Spaniards there were, that's quite a lot.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Another cacique was captured, But Michimalongo disappeared into the country to continue his campaign. From now on, Santiago will face low-level hostility, which will sometimes build into serious attacks. Outsiders weren't the only threat Valdivia faced, however. There were also internal conspiracies. These came to his attention before they could be acted on, and 5 dissident Spaniards were preemptively killed. Like the indigenous hostility, however, this issue will continue to fester. Valdivia pressed on with his plan to promote the colony back in Peru. He began building a ship, as travel overseas would be quicker and easier than the long desert march. He also knew that if there was one thing which would attract the interest of potential colonists, it was gold. The deal I mentioned with Michimalongo was that he would be allowed to go if he showed them where to find some. He took them to a small mine. There wasn't much there, but Valdivia planned to send what he could dig up back to Peru and pretend that there was a lot more. He faced another setback when the half-constructed ship was destroyed in an indigenous attack. Valdivia turned his efforts towards expanding the colony instead, going to the lands immediately south of Santiago, with the intention of establishing farms there. He had also heard that there was an indigenous army gathering in the region, but this may well have been deliberate misinformation. He had a knack of being absent when serious trouble started. It had happened when De La Hoz had made his assassination attempt, and Inez Suarez also had a knack of holding things together for him until he returned. With much of the Spanish forces away from Santiago, Michimalongo chose this moment to attack the settlement. He decided that this would be the decisive battle which would force the Spanish out, and he had obtained the support of the other caciques in the area to create an army of 10,000. He also probably wanted to free 7 caciques who the Spanish were holding hostage. The attack began in the early morning, and the Spanish were quickly driven back to their central square. In the fighting, most of the buildings were burnt down, and all of their food supplies, including the animals they had brought with them from Peru, were lost. Things were looking desperate for the colonists, but according to the most popular story, it was apparently Inez who saved them. She had spent the day looking after the wounded, and is said to have come up with a plan to turn things around, as well as convincing the rest of the defenders that this was their only hope. Some of them wanted to use the captured caciques to bargain their way out. They considered Santiago to be lost. She argued that they should do the opposite. They should cut off the heads of the caciques and throw them at the attackers. Followed up by a sudden charge with their horses, this would shock and frighten Michimalongo's soldiers. Through force of character, she managed to make her plan happen, and even did some of the murdering herself. If this all really happened, it was a risky move, not to mention brutal, but it is supposed to have worked. The brutality made the attackers hesitate, panic, and then retreat. The Spanish had managed to save themselves, but what had been a difficult position was now even worse. When Valdivia arrived back in Santiago 2 weeks later, he saw the damage for himself and realized the implications. To begin with, their settlement was almost back to square one. The supplies, which were going to help them survive until they could make the colony self-sufficient, were now gone, and that path to self-sufficiency looked difficult and unclear. The land had only had a reasonable amount of potential to begin with. It was good enough for farming and raising animals, but it wasn't a new Peru or Mexico. Further hampering progress in this regard was the fact that the indigenous peoples would surely be back again to attack at some point. They had been repelled, but not defeated. Any farms they established would be vulnerable to raids. They didn't have the people required to establish them anyway, and a knock-on effect of the attack was it would now be harder than ever to convince new Spaniards to make their way there from Peru. If information about their situation got out, it would just confirm the already existing perception that Chile was not a land where a person's future would be made. Of course, Valdivia's boat plan was finished as well. He decided that he would have to send a group overland to retrace their steps through the Atacama and ask whoever was now in charge of Peru for help. This small force made it up there largely without problems, but there were a couple of incidents which are worth mentioning. In Copiapó, They were briefly captured by the indigenous people there. There was a man named Gasco living among them, who had been one of Almagro's soldiers, and had somehow ended up remaining in Chile. He had done what Jeronimo de Aguila had done in Mexico, joining his indigenous host's society and turning against the Spanish. He was supposed to be the one who would encourage the indigenous people to attack the travellers. They managed to surprise and overpower Gasco, stabbing him with his own sword and escaping. On the outskirts of Peru, they met a group who were planning to make their way down to Valdivia's colony. These men agreed to wait until Valdivia's representative was finished asking for help, and to accompany him back to Chile. They already had a boat ready for the journey. This was at last some good news. Besides having used it to declare independence from Peru, it turned out that this conflict between the Pizarro and Almagro supporters was a source of further benefit for Valdivia. These reinforcements had been on the side of Almagro's son, and they felt that Peru was not a safe place for them to be any more, now that their cause was lost. When the party reached Lima, they found that neither side was in power. The king had sent his own new governor to take control. He was not enthusiastic about Chile. Like everyone else, he judged it to be a pointless exercise and a waste of resources. He refused to provide any help. The Chileans did manage to gather a small amount more support from private individuals. Collecting the men who had agreed to come with them, they sailed back down the coast of Chile. Going by boat did save them undertaking the difficult overland journey. But as Santiago is inland, or at least almost as possible as it is to get in Chile, this presented a small problem when it came to working out when they had gone far enough south. They sailed past where they needed to be, probably as far as where the city of Concepcion is today, before they turned back north and eventually made landfall where Santiago's port sister city is now, Valparaiso. Valdivia was pleased to see them. When events are condensed into a short podcast episode, it's easy to forget the time frames involved. These events follow one another for the sake of the story, and so the long weeks and months disappear in the narrative. Those who remained in Santiago were hungry and desperate. If you look at it on a map, Lima is a very long way north, and it must have taken a long time to walk there. On top of this, you had the time spent in the city, and that taken up as they sailed back. Valdivia and his men had been living off not much more than the wild plants they could scavenge for a very long time, constantly under threat of attack. Things were different now, though. They had new supplies, and 70 more Spaniards had arrived. What's more, they now had a ship which could provide a vital lifeline to Peru. The indigenous people realized all this too, and so Michimalongo and the rest of the caciques decided to move away from the region surrounding the settlement. With the danger they posed abated, the Spanish could begin establishing farms and ensuring that they would have food once their new stores had run out. Valdivia decided to try to press this advantage, going after them to fight a battle. He was ambushed and forced to retreat again. This was a temporary setback, though. Valdivia went on to win a series of battles, which ensured that his colony would be safe. Perhaps things might turn out all right after all. If you've enjoyed this episode and you want to do something to help out, one thing which is really useful is if you could leave a review wherever you get your podcast from. It helps new people discover the show. If you really, really enjoyed it and you're feeling generous, it is possible to make a small donation to help cover the costs of running the podcast. There's information about how to do this in the episode description. A huge thank you to everyone who's done one of these things already, and thank you to everyone for listening.
You've been listening to the Latin American History Podcast, written and recorded by Max Sargent. For more information, visit the website www.maxsargent.com/thehistoryoflatinamerica, and that's spelt MaxSergeant. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to get in contact at historyoflatinamericapodcast@gmail.com. You can also find the Facebook page by searching for the Latin American History Podcast. The Twitter handle is @historylatinam. And if you've liked the show, you can help out by leaving a review on iTunes. Alternatively, if you visit the website, you'll see that each episode is accompanied by relevant photos. Most of these are my own, taken during my time in Latin America. All these photos and more are available to purchase as prints at my Etsy shop. You can find this at www.etsy.com/MaxSargentPhoto. That's spelt www.etsy.com/MaxSergentPhoto. Thanks for listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.